Good evening. My name is Sue S. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater, abstinent by the power of a power greater than myself, certainly not by the power of Sue. I was asked just the other day by the speaker getter, Ellen, and I want to thank her for her service. I haven't quite gathered my thoughts yet, so I'm going to take a moment and say the serenity prayer. Just a little bit about my journey to Overeaters Anonymous. I did come to Overeaters Anonymous from another 12-step program. I did come from the drink program, where I landed after a summer of, well, it was actually a 6-month journey through the psych wards. After a suicide attempt, and which led to a 6-month journey of psychiatric visits and visits to a psychiatric hospital, where the head nurse noticed that every time I came into the psych ward, I had been drinking. And she suggested I go to a 12-step program. But I had no trouble putting down the alcohol. It was just a symptom of a larger disease. But I dutifully did what they told me to do because I had nowhere else to go. After 7 years of being in the drink program, I started to hear about Overeaters Anonymous and looked it up and found it in the white pages of my phone book way back when in 1997, and when we still had white pages and not computers to look up everything, and found my local intergroup, and somebody actually answered the phone, and they told me where there was a meeting, and I went. And I've always been a compulsive overeater. I was born right before lunch. My mother said I was born 11:30 in the morning, and my mother said it was because I didn't want to miss lunch. And my earliest memories are food memories, because I remember the day we lived with my grandparents, and I remember the day my grandmother passed away, not because I was so sad about my grandmother's passing, but because I remembered we were sent to a neighbor's house and I remembered what we had for dinner. I was never a good dieter, and food was always my friend. I'm 13 months younger than my older sister, and I always felt that my older sister got all the instructions to life and I was kind of left out. I had good friend until the fourth grade, and then there was some kind of argument, and I'm still to this day not sure what we argued about, and I guess it was my fault, I don't know, but we had an argument, we had a really big fight, and she said she couldn't be my friend anymore, and after that I had a hard time making friends. And so I was kind of a loner. I was a book person. My nose was always in a book. And I did a lot of reading and a lot of just staying by myself. And I had to take care of the three younger kids in the house. And I was a very responsible, very straight as an arrow kind of person. And but food was always my friend. Food was my companion. Food kept me, food made me happy. And I was thin when I was younger. And then I hit puberty and I went from a size 14 girl to a size 18 woman and don't remember being any size in between. Supposedly, according to the psychiatrist and the psychologist I've seen in the ensuing years since I first came into the drink program and was first introduced to psychiatrists and psychologists, There may have been some abuse, but I still don't have any memory of it. And so I, but I was never a very good dieter. I'd stay on a diet for a week, maybe, and then I'd get some ache or pain, usually a sore throat, and I'd decide it was from the diet, and I'd go back to my old eating habits. I got through high school, and I was always a moderate student. I was a in high school, I was a B plus student. And I was expected to follow in my older sister's footsteps, and I tried, and I failed. My older sister went to a fairly prestigious nursing school, and I didn't get into this nursing school that she got into. And so I wound up going to a
Could
different
you talk a
nursing
little
school.
louder, please?
Certainly. So I went to a different nursing school instead of going for a bachelor's degree in nursing, which my mother, who was a nurse, thought was the best way to go, was to get your bachelor's degree. I went to a diploma school, which is now extinct, and I got graduated with a diploma in nursing, and found more ways to express my and found more ways to express my disease. I had some friends in nursing school. I did make friends in nursing school, but most of the time what I liked the most was that the cafeteria was free for nursing students, where everybody else had to pay for the food in the cafeteria, so I could eat whatever I wanted, as much as I wanted, until the second year in school, when this I went to a New York City nursing school, they decided there was a budget cut, and the city decided that the nurses had to pay for the food in the cafeteria, and my friends and I decided that if they were going to make us pay for it, we didn't want to eat it because it wasn't that good. And so I started to go shopping with my friends, and we would eat in the lounge, which had a small kitchen off of it, and we'd take turns cooking upstairs, and which led to more socialization, I guess, over food and some good memories. But anyhow. So I got larger and larger. I tried some paying ways. I tried some stuff. And after I got out of nursing school, I decided that I was going to join the Air Force. And I gave up all my junk food. And I went swimming at the Y 5 days a week. And I lost a lot of weight. And then I became attractive to men. And I never had very good relationships with men since the high school I went to was all girls. And I never learned how to deal with men. And I met this man who said that he loved me. And after a tumultuous kind of relationship, we eventually got married and had a baby. And eventually I had a house in the suburbs, a two kids in the white picket fence. And I thought I had everything I wanted and still couldn't figure out why I wasn't happy. At least not deep down. But I put on a happy face, went on with my life as best as I could, and decided that if you didn't like the fact that I was fat, that was your problem. I would occasionally try and go on diets. I tried the paying ways. I tried cutting down my food. I tried anything I could think of to try and decrease my weight every once in a while, and nothing seemed to work. So I just eventually gave up. And I got bigger, and then I started to have issues with my stomach, and they started to talk to me about lifestyle changes, which is pretty much how I wound up in the psych wards and how I wound up at the liquid beverage program. So anyhow, I wound up in OA, and when I first got there, I knew I belonged in a way. And everything I heard about it made me feel like I belonged. And I I came in weighing, the first time around, I came in weighing 289 pounds. I lost almost 100 pounds within the first, I'm going to say within the first year, I lost 100 pounds. And I did what they told me to do. I got a sponsor. I gave away my food every day. And I followed my food plan and went to meetings 4 and 5 nights a week. And then back then it was all face-to-face. I don't know if the phone meetings existed back then, but I went to all face-to-face meetings. And I thought life was wonderful. And then I got tired of doing the work. I got tired of planning out my food the night before. I got tired of having to follow this food plan. I got tired of doing the assignments. I got tired of all of it. And, I mean, it wasn't all at once, but little by slowly, I stopped doing all the work. I stopped going out speaking. I stopped doing so much service. And eventually, I found myself not going to so many meetings, and eventually, I found myself outside the rooms. And then I started to, not right away, I figured I had a food plan and I had a fellowship because I had made friends in the room and we all stuck it out and we all kind of left together. And eventually the friendships kind of broke up and eventually I started eating some of the foods that I had stopped eating when I was losing 100 pounds. And after 7 years outside the rooms, I came back in November of 2010, having regained not just the 100 pounds I lost, but 60 pounds above that. I came back weighing 340 pounds. I couldn't walk around the block without having severe shortness of breath and chest pain, and I'd have to stop halfway around the block and take a break and then do the other half when I was walking around the block. And I knew I was in deep trouble. The doctors were talking to me about having bariatric surgery. The doctors were telling me that I had to do something. I had sleep apnea. I had come home from a trip out. I live on the East Coast. We had gone out to the national parks in Utah, and I came home with severe cellulitis, which led to in my legs, and my legs were a mess, and they didn't really heal right, and I was a mess. And then my boss, I was having trouble at work, and my boss told me that I was working from home, and I became a workaholic, and I was just spending my days just doing nothing but working, going to fast food restaurant for dinner, and coming home, going to bed, and getting up and doing the same thing the next day. And I was on the verge, when my boss told me that she was going to assign me more hospitals, I had a complete breakdown over the phone with her, and I called my psychiatrist and I asked him to put me out on disability until I could get my act together. And he did. And I went into a psychiatric day treatment program, and he, as part of the psychiatric day treatment program, I went, made one of my goals to go back to OA. And I had tried to go back to OA before that, but I never quite made it back. And this time I went back to a room where I knew people there, and I was full of shame. And instead of being greeted with shame, I went to a room where people knew me, and this time people greeted me with open arms. And they loved me till I could love myself, because I really hated myself when I came back into the rooms. Look at what I had done to myself. Look at what had happened to me. How could I have done this to myself? And this time, instead of just kind of mouthing that I was working the steps, I actually did all 12 steps. This time around, I did a good fourth step. I gave away my fourth step and a fifth step. And now I live in 10, 11, and 12. And today I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I still do a lot of service. I still, I don't have everything I want, but I have everything I need. And I certainly didn't get what I deserved. I haven't lost all my weight. I came back in November of 2010. It took me until January of 2014 to get abstinent. I'm down to 1 to 250. I haven't lost all my weight yet, but I'm a work in progress. I practice this program to the best. Thank you. I practice this program to the best of my ability, one day at a time, and I really have learned to accept life on life's terms. And I had an experience last week where, and I spoke about it a little bit on the business meeting last week, where I had a detached retina that developed when I was out of town. And I felt so guided because this time around I really did some soul searching and some research and found a power greater than myself. Because the first time around I think, at least I thought I was. I thought I didn't really need a higher power. I didn't really think I was powerless over anything. And I really think that this time around I found that power that was greater than myself, and really feel that that power keeps me away from the food. And is my food plan perfect? Certainly not. But most days I can get through the program without recreational sugar, and that's my food plan, no recreational sugar unless I plan for it, and three meals a day with possibly one or two snacks. And it's okay. And, and you know, and I have, but mostly what this program gave me was myself back. It gave me the idea or the fact that I'm human, that I can make mistakes without being a mistake, and that I can live life on life's terms without having to eat it over it anymore. That it is possible to do that. Because my first thought is always, my first reflex is to reach for food when anything is going on. And I don't have to do that. That I can actually tell when my stomach is full and stop. I can do that. And to me, that's a miracle. Because I never stopped when I was full. I didn't know what that meant. So one day at a time, I can live a life that is free from compulsive overeating. And I didn't think that was possible. And I just, this program has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I was seeing therapists, I was seeing psychiatrists when I was out there, when I was out in relapse. And I couldn't do that. I didn't know how to do that on my own. Even when I was seeing therapy and psychiatrists, they didn't have the answer for me. The program of Overeaters Anonymous had it, which is why I do so much service, because service helped me feel like I belonged. Service keeps this program alive. And I worry when people don't do service, like reading the steps or taking names and numbers, because I worry that the program is going to die. And if you think that my fear is unfounded, I do service on levels above the group and intergroup level. I've done service on the virtual, I do service for the virtual intergroup. I do virtual service for the virtual, I've done service for the virtual region level. And I've had the distinct honor of going to the World Service Business Conference. And I know that OA is shrinking. It's a fact. And I worry about that because I need OA to exist in order to save my sanity. It saved my bacon twice, use the expression. And I need it to exist. So I worry when people don't want to do service. I truly believe that recovery is outside your comfort zone. And if you really think that the meetings are just going to continue to exist if nobody steps up to do service, that makes me nervous. And that's just my glance on it. I know it's not everybody's glance on it. You know, if God doesn't mean for it to exist, it's not going to exist. And You know, it's just higher powers will, but it does make me nervous. So anyhow, I'm starting to rant, so I'm going to stop. My name is Sue S. My phone number is 516-721-0816. I live in New York. It's Eastern Time. You can call, text, or WhatsApp me anytime. And if I don't answer the phone, I'll call you back as soon as I can. Thanks so much for letting me share tonight.
Thank you, Sue. I did not know OA was shrinking. It's interesting information. Would you like to leave a topic for us tonight?
Sure. The topic tonight is hope. One of my favorite topics. Are you hopeful? And if not, well, let's just leave it at hope.
All right. Well, sorry about that, folks. I had several sneezes to get rid of. All right. We are at halftime now. Hello again. This is Darren H., your moderator for this meeting.
You might want to turn
recording.
Apple.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You might want to turn off the recording.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. I might want to do that. Hang on.